Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Next, it's Dale and Keith on the exclusive home for Red Sox baseball, WEEI.
Are you PFML ready? Massachusetts paid...
Isaiah Wynn is out for this game now with a foot injury.
Oh no, no, no!
Back-to-back blowouts for the Miami Dolphins. New England dominates in South Florida.
Dale Arnold.
Patriots sent a message to everybody who said this Antonio Brown experiment might not work.
Rich Keefe.
Let it ride!
Chiefs, Cowboys money line. Ravens.
Dale and Keefe, middays.
What are Sam Darnold's hobbies? I'll give you one clue.
It's not always that.
Sam Darnold.
So, on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
I'm just going to say right now, it shows a sincere lack of compassion on your part, Rich, that you continue to mock poor Sam Darnold in his hour of medical need.
Lover boy, it's not his season, you know? You go out there, you can't be making out with all of New York and expect to be on the football field.
Worried about a ruptured spleen
here. You
got to
be focused. Oh, I don't blame the team for sitting him out. You can't play like that.
Well, you can't just
but
be kissing
anybody. It's football season. You can't be making out with everybody
right.
You meet. Come on, Sam.
Jesus, you should
know better.
You
got a big game coming up tonight.
You should know better than not kiss.
Wiggy went entire football seasons without kissing a single person.
Yeah, no, well, that's not true.
Just
I've
my
heard
wife,
stories.
Right?
I've heard
stay
stories.
Stay to the neck. If you're single and you're out there, stay to the neck.
Didn't kiss anybody on land. Maybe not on land.
Hold on, I'm going to have a tattoo made. Stay to the neck.
Stay to the neck. If you're a single man and you're out there and you're, you know, no lips. No lips on lips. Keep your lips on the neck.
It's like a prostitute's rule. Yeah, well, I've
heard. Sounds a lot like it, actually.
I've seen the Hookers of Huntsville. I believe that's the one on HBO where they were in the Bronx. So that might have been the rule.
No kissing.
No kissing.
Anything else?
Anything
literally
else.
Anything else.
You want to put your lips on something, put them on my neck.
Hey, Dale?
I'm just going
to
leave it
to you, Dale.
Where the hell do I go from there?
That's it.
I don't know.
So the Patriots are off to a decent start to the football season.
Holy smokes.
That's it.
Now, I keep wanting to temper much of my enthusiasm for the start because, whoa, are the Miami Dolphins off.
So the Dolphins are historically bad. I think we're going to look back on the Dolphins as being one of the worst teams in the history of football. And that's not hyperbole because their roster's probably only going to get worse. They may trade away a few guys. Because what's funny is there's been a lot of bad football teams, obviously. There's been a lot of bad football teams in the AFC East over the last 20 years. But most of the time, you can find a player, sometimes up to five, that you really like. Mm-hmm. And you say, well, the team sucks, but man, wouldn't it be great to have so-and-so, right? Like a defensive end that's really good or whatever. They really don't even have that. Minka Fitzpatrick is the one guy who was a first-round pick a year ago out of Alabama, I think number 11 overall.
Right.
He's really the one sounding off about wanting to be traded. So he might even just be a turd. I don't know. He has
appears
talent.
To be a turd.
He does. He has talent, though. So maybe that's the guy. But you look at their running backs, yikes. Their receivers, awful.
Right.
The quarterbacks are terrible. The linemen, like, that is a terrible,
maybe beside,
terrible
like,
team.
The tight end, Gusecki, I think.
You can have him.
Yeah, he's okay. And the kid, Christian Wilkinson.
You had Matthew Slater playing tight end yesterday, so maybe
that's
you
true.
Could use one.
That's true. Wilkins, you're right. Yeah. They just drafted him on the defensive line. Okay, maybe you'd want him. But, man, that is such a terrible almost comical. Like, with the back-to-back plays down the sideline, Josh Rosen, say whatever you want about Rosen, hits guys in stride,
dives.
Whoop, right through the hands.
Grant won one play, and then Williams on the other one.
Horrible. And first of all, like, those guys don't belong on NFL teams. And then they can't catch a pat. I mean, it was embarrassing.
Well,
but with that said, the Patriots also made them look really bad.
Let's go back to one of the first decisions that Brian Flores had to make. We're going to start Ryan Fitzpatrick at quarterback this year.
That's where I think he was wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. Keith and I argued about this one yesterday.
Oh, I was listening. Well, I heard you a lot. I didn't hear him so much. But
it was a long Saturday for me. I was fine with Wiggy talking on Sunday. But I thought Rosen, I think there's no way that Fitzpatrick should be the starter all season long, but maybe he didn't just want to give him the job. He could have been really bad in camp. What if he was horrible in camp?
Who's that, Rosen?
Yeah, what if he was? Well, like, is that a good message to send? Like, hey, you're the young guys. You're getting the you were the former first-round pick, so you're going to get the job.
Well, that was my point. How good can Rosen be?
No, he must be terrible.
If he can't beat out Ryan's Fitzpatrick.
No, I know.
Like, if you can't beat out Ryan Fitzpatrick, a journeyman quarterback.
You start for every team.
Where you know they traded for you. The Miami Dolphins traded for you to get you, and they traded for you before right around the draft, right? So you come in, you got the whole offseason, you got the whole training camp, and your competition is Ryan Fitzpatrick. If you can't beat him out to win the starting job,
bad.
I don't want to hear, well, you know what, he's young. No, he started in 13 games last year.
Yeah, on a horrible team. Maybe a team that was just as bad as the one he's on now.
Yeah, granted, but you're a top 10 draft pick, and you can't beat out Ryan Fitzpatrick? That tells me that they don't
think he's horrible, yeah. Maybe he just is horrible. So if he's horrible, you can't start him.
Right, no, I'm not saying. That's what I'm saying.
But I think at this point, too, it's gone beyond just being a bad team in Miami because of all the reports of guys wanting out. Like, when the Lions were
0-16, like a dumpster fire already.
It's like a mutiny, and then you get Flores there, and you're like, how much of this is his fault? Are they not buying in because of him, or are they just looking around and saying, this team is terrible, I don't want to be on an 0-16 team, I want to get out of there. But not even many of those guys would even have trade value. Going back to my point about they can all demand trades all they want, but
no one's gonna
if they were good, the team would be better. They're not. They got rid of their left tackle and their wide receiver, probably their best or second best wide receiver, traded them away to Houston. So you're like, all right, they're going for a rebuild, they're going for a tank. But to Wiggy's point, how can you be in a rebuild with a 40-year-old quarterback,
right,
or however old Fitzpatrick is.
So, I mean, I hate to do it to poor Josh Rosen because he was led to the wolves in Arizona.
Yeah.
But that's what you'd have to do.
If you're
Brian Flores, that's what you got to do.
I think so, too. You got to figure out what you have in him, and you say, you know what, it might be another long season for you, but you're out there, you're going to be getting the reps and whatever else. And the team's going to be bad regardless.
Right.
But the 2020 starting quarterback won't be Fitzpatrick.
Right.
It might not even be Rosen. They might draft a guy.
It won't be Rosen. It won't be Fitzpatrick.
But it won't be Rosen if you don't play him. It for sure won't be Rosen if you don't play him.
Well, and the thing that I look at, you talk about Miami being a bad team, but the Patriots did exactly what you're supposed to do to a bad team, where they could have fell into that trap and you could have been like, man, you know, they didn't play their best game, or they went down to Miami and basically, you know, took them out back and mollywopped them.
There's two things working against them. In Miami, they've struggled.
Right.
And then against,
and Brady said it's the hottest he's ever been at a football game.
Yeah, and
game,
you could definitely tell the heat was an issue for those guys. And then you lose some offensive linemen, and you're
kind of
like,
yeah, you down a couple offensive linemen.
You know.
But between in Miami and then against a former coach from the staff,
right,
they've struggled. Even when they've had bad team, Matt Patricia they lost to, Josh McDaniels they lost to, what was it, Al Groh and Jim Bates or whatever they put up with there. And so they've lost
Jim
to all
Bates.
These different guys.
I saw that one. Yeah, okay.
A loss is a loss.
Right.
And so you had all that going against you. They were this huge favorite, like 18.5. And I was thinking yesterday, too, what would the number have had to have been prior to the game to pick the Dolphins? Probably like 26.5.
Yeah, it'd have
right?
to
it
be
like something.
And even
like
then,
that.
You'd have lost.
Yeah. I know you would have lost. I'm just thinking like ahead of time, like what would the number have had to have been to say, all right, that's just too many points. I'm going with Miami.
So here it's courtesy of Field Yates. These are the Patriots' defensive drives this season. Okay, you've played two games. Defensively, punt, 3 and out, 3 and out, 3 and out. Downs, end of half. Field goal, punt, downs, interception, end of game. 3 and out, punt, 3 and out, 3 and out, 3 and out, interception. 3 and out, 3 and out, pick six, interception.
It's like the 2000 Ravens, where they would score more points than they would allow.
Well, there was that.
That's
one,
what they've done so far. They've scored more points. They've put more points on the board than they've allowed.
It was crazy because during the game, they show like I think it was Brian Flores was they had him on the screen, and then next to him it had like the Miami Dolphins like seven.
It was all punts and a pick or whatever.
Yeah,
it was like awful.
I was like, ooh, this is bad.
And that's the to me it was just that was a combination yesterday of best team in the league versus worst. worst team in the league, and that's what you're going to get.
Well, and there was one point in the game where they had 38 yards of total offense.
Yeah,
you're
Antonio Brown had more yards than
Dolphins. I mean, like 38 yards of total offense. That's like, I mean, that's
insane.
That's high school football.
Chad, that's so bad high school football. Chad Finn tweeted out yesterday that the Miami Dolphins have outgained Matt LaCoste through three quarters, 38 yards to 33.
Mm. Unbelievable,
Matt LaCoste.
Right.
Yeah. No, they're. I mean, they're just so bad.
Yeah.
But I mean, the 19-0 talk that was there even before the Miami game. Like,
right.
That was there way before. That was there. Even...
And you start to look at what the Patriots have been able to do, because what's always been the biggest thing around here with the Patriots, especially in the recent years, is the first four games we don't really know.
Yeah, they kind of are slow out of the game.
Right. And when we say slow, it's like 2-2, and it's like, well,
The defense is giving up points.
Yeah, and you're like, man, the defense is giving up 20.
No, they are locked in. They're playing like they normally play in late December right now.
They're
absolutely locked in.
And defensively, like, I think, we all talk about the Antonio Brown and, that being his first game. And, that's, is that one of the biggest takeaways from this game? But defensively, man.
Oh, the defense.
And that's why I said, and that's why I said that I think defensively, where we are in this point, they're better than they were in 07, the undefeated
season.
They
might be. They are.
Yeah.
The Patriots never, in their history, certainly not even during the Bill Belichick era, have never been plus 73 over any two-game stretch ever.
Well,
I mean, that's how good
they are. They play the Jets next week,
too.
It's only going to keep
with Trevor Siemian at quarterback.
And let's not, like, all right, Miami wasn't a great team, so okay.
Neither is Pittsburgh, if we're being honest. If we're just calling them out, like that, you just played two non-playoff teams.
But Pittsburgh, prior to that game, you would have said that, okay, Pittsburgh is going to be a playoff team.
No, not me.
Well,
I had him out.
You might have had him out, but I think the majority of people...
By the way, today they're saying Roethlisberger needs an MRI on his elbow, may need surgery.
Oh, by the way...
He may be done.
So this is like a side topic to everything. We can get back to the game in a second. But it just, again, puts into perspective how Tom Brady, how amazing it is that he's able to stay on the field. Because yesterday you see Ben Roethlisberger and Drew Brees...
Right.
Two kind of contemporaries of his, two other Hall of Famers, two guys
both
that have played a long time.
Both could be done for the year.
Yes. Right. They both get hurt in the game. And, again, it can be a fluke injury. Like the Drew Brees injury.
It was a fluke.
It was a fluke. But, like, that can happen.
Right.
And when you're constantly playing, that can go on. We've seen Aaron Rodgers miss a season or half a season or whatever. He's missed games. And so for Brees and Roethlisberger, Cam Newton's hanging on by a thread at this point. And then here's Tom Brady just every week just going out there.
So Friday, when we played some cuts from Bill Belichick's Friday press conference, and he was talking about how hard it is to pick up. He was talking specific. He was asked about Antonio Brown. Can he pick things up quickly enough? And he went out of his way to say, well, it's the same with Marshall Newhouse. And we kind of laughed about it. And we said, yeah, Marshall Newhouse and Antonio Brown. He knew more than we did. He knew they not only was Marshall Newhouse going to play, he played every snap.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, too. No Cannon. So Cannon...
He was close, I think.
Yeah, because we heard he was going to be out for weeks, and he was limited all week, and he made the trip down there and tried to work out before the game and then was ultimately inactive. So,
And then they ended up putting in, and then who went in the left tackle for after?
Well, they moved Newhouse over to left tackle. Mm-hmm. They put Corey Cunningham in at right tackle. And this goes back to Dante Scarnecchia as a football genius stuff that we've discussed in the past. I mean, Isaiah Wynn. Their big first-round pick at left tackle.
Heard
now,
again.
According to Ryan Hannibal, it is a toe injury.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be examined further today. If it's turf toe...
That's a son of a gun right there.
That could be long
That's
term.
A long time. Turf toe,
yeah,
don't mess around with turf toe.
Well, yeah, turf toe is a bad thing. That's,
it is.
That's what ended Deion's career.
That's right.
But I wonder, like...
Just by sticking the word toe in it, it sort of
it does.
Downplays it.
But turf toe is all the tendons on the top of the foot,
too. I've never dealt with turf toe, but I'm
brutal.
Thinking as a lineman...
You just tape it up and get out there?
Yeah, I'm like, when you look at it, there are certain injuries that you can maybe say, okay, he doesn't have to, he's not like he's running routes or he's coming in and out of breaks.
So two negatives from a 43-0 win over the worst team in the league, and they're rolling through 2 weeks. There was two things that jumped out to me that said, if this team is to lose the game, whether it be in the regular season or in the playoffs, there'd be two reasons why it could happen. One would be if the offensive line just keeps dropping like flies. I did think Brady got hit a bunch. Like, there was a bunch of times where he did get hit.
He got up slow once, and it scared the hell out of me.
Scared the hell out of you. And there were some holding penalties. Like, the offensive line, it at times looked like they were down three starters, because they were.
And they were. Right,
that's what it is. So now you're playing your eighth offensive lineman. Like, it's not going to be great. But if that's the case where these guys are fighting injuries all year and Cannon and Wynn are in and out of the lineup, I think that could be tough. You go up against a real defensive front, Brady could get hit even more. And Steven Gostkowski.
Yes.
If you're missing kicks, again, 43-0, who cares?
It He's got been... a problem in that place. Right. He had a bad. Problem last yeah. year down yeah. there.
But, you know, it's the thing that we've seen from him, the glaring thing that we've kind of seen with Gostkowski that's kind of like, is the extra points, right?
It's like, man, brutal.
Yeah, right. It's you know, you got to miss field goals here and there, but it's like consistently, you're like,
three missed kicks
right,
in a game.
Right. Well, that's the thing. But the thing that I would look at with the offensive line, the other thing is, if you're the Patriots, you got to, I think, depending on what the Isaiah Wynn thing is.
Can you get Trent Williams? Is that what you're going to say?
Yes. Can you make a move now to go get Trent Williams?
Because Washington's like, oh, we're not trading him. It's like, well, don't be stupid.
Right.
Like, he's not playing for you, clearly.
Right.
He's collecting fine after fine after. He doesn't care.
Right.
He does not want, he won't play for you.
Right.
Your team stinks. Get a draft pick. Get a draft pick. Get Trent Williams over here. I was thinking the same thing yesterday. So as great as this team is, maybe the one potential flaw, and it's because of injury. I think if all their guys, if Cannon and Wynn and even Andrews were playing all season, you'd have no problem.
Right.
Here's the one thing I'll say about Gostkowski, who has struggled down there and has struggled at times. Boy, there's bad kicking in the NFL
everywhere.
God.
And I'm not sure there's, you know, some guy sitting out there on the scrap heap somewhere waiting for the Patriots
Carly
to bring
Lloyd.
Him in here.
Carly Lloyd's out
and,
there.
Well, she is.
She's available.
So yesterday, Adam Vinatieri had another tough day for the Colts.
Back to back for him.
Stephen Holder, who covers the Colts for The Athletic, tweeted out, just grabbed Adam Vinatieri as he headed to the bus. He said, you'll hear from me tomorrow. I told him we don't see him tomorrow, and he said, yeah, you will.
Yeah, I think he's probably going to hang it up. I think it's been five missed kicks between field goals and extra points the first 2 weeks for Vinatieri. And I think, you know, 46 years old, the guy's had an unbelievable career and was even still productive last year. But maybe he realizes I just don't have it.
Well, I think with kickers, it you know, when you look at Vinatieri, it's the physical part of it. Do you think that's really have caught up with him? I don't think it's necessarily the physical part. Yeah, he probably can't kick as deep as he used to be able to kick. But
right.
I think it's more for them. It becomes the mental yips. You know what I mean? And you start to go, oh, you start questioning yourself.
It's everything, right?
And you're going,
yeah.
like, is my mechanics right? It's this, it's that.
And yeah, trying to figure it out during the season has got to be really hard to do. But that's the thing. We've always talked about how, you know, Tom Brady has made the point, hey, when I suck, I'll stop playing, like paraphrasing. And I've always thought, well, what if it's like in the middle of the season? Like, it's easy to say, oh, I'm done, and you know, you win a Super Bowl and I'm done, and then you never go through it. And to a different degree, obviously, the kicker not the same as the best quarterback ever, but
well,
he's two games in, and he's like, wait a minute, I'm not good anymore.
Apparently, he had talked about this in the offseason, and the Colts had kind of talked him into coming back. Talk a player into playing when he wasn't sure if he wanted to play or not.
I don't like that.
The Colts seem to be cornered the market on that. But if that's true, if they said, come on, you can't leave us like this. And he goes out there through the first two games and goes, you know, this is embarrassing.
I can't keep missing these kicks.
Right.
I mean, they almost lost the game yesterday because of that. I mean, they won by, what, two? And he missed. And he left a lot of points.
And that's
on the
why
board.
I said when you talk about how the year he had last year, it was a pretty decent
year. Yeah,
he
was fine.
And I think mentally, right, when a guy.
He might be fried.
Yeah, mentally, when you have to talk a guy to come back and play. And they're at their age where he's 46 years old, he's been playing forever, and then he goes out there and he misses some kicks. I think it now becomes this mental strain on him. Like,
and that's like going back to Gostkowski. I know it's not easy to replace him, but we can't just keep writing it off. You know, he's missed kicks in Super Bowls, he's missed kicks in AFC Championship games.
No, you
he's
can't.
Missed those extra points.
It's so hard to find a kicker.
No, I know. There's not
and
many
when you
of
look
them.
At Gostkowski,
I'm not sure there's a better one out there than Gostkowski now.
And when you look at Gostkowski, right? I mean,
even available, not like on
TV. Right. No. Yeah, I'm saying that you could go out and get.
Right. And when you look at him and you go, okay, yeah, he's missed some extra points. He's missed a field. He's struggled in Miami. But he's still pretty good when you start to look around what might be available.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the calls with you guys at 617-779-7937. We have not yet mentioned the wide receiver for the Patriots.
Who's that? Edelman?
Phil
Josh
Dorsett.
Gordon.
Oh,
Josh Gordon.
I love Josh
Gordon.
Phil Dorsett's my guy.
We'll get to that as well. At some point, maybe it's already taking place at 345 Park Avenue. Brittany Taylor is reportedly talking to the NFL. I don't remember her name. There's the lady that the NFL hired who supposedly is supposed to kind of spearhead the domestic violence.
Was she Ezekiel Elliott?
Yes.
Was she the one that said no punishment? And then the league said, okay, six games?
My guess
so they listen
is
to her.
She might be the person that Brittany Taylor's talking to today. But we'll get into that as well. James White is scheduled to join us. I say scheduled because His wife is imminently due to give birth at any point.
Well, if
here.
He was Adam Gase, he'd be here.
Well, right.
He would say, listen, I have an interview to
he
do.
He was at the game yesterday. So
it's a good sign, so maybe he will be here.
So James White will join us. Daron Harmon will join us as well. Yep. We'll get to your calls. We're down here at Gillette Stadium. Wiggy's in the house as well. It's Dale and Keith. We'll get to the calls in just a couple of minutes, but first we trend.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
James White in. He had fumbled earlier. Brady shotgun looking left. Now flips it to right on a screen pass to White. He's going to walk into the end zone. Untouched.
Where's everybody? Oh, boy. That was real easy.
I mean, I hate to correct the
superb
Miami Dolphins broadcasters.
That guy nuts?
James White did not fumble.
James White does not fumble.
Right. It just doesn't anyway, but he certainly didn't yesterday.
Oh, he's putting that on him. I'm glad he scored a touchdown
They got to change the numbers because they were even
too
on
close?
The even on the broadcast. Who was it? Fouts and
Eagle?
Yeah.
High in the sky.
It's like you know, James White. No, that's Sony Michel.
Is it just me or do we get a lot of Dan Fouts games?
I think we got a lot of Dan Fouts.
If it's like a good game, it's going to be Nance and Romo. And then if it's a bad game, it's Fouts and whoever he's dragging with
it's
him.
It's Ian.
Ian?
Yeah, you can't, you can't call him
Ian Eagle.
I always thought it was
Ian. No, Ian Eagle, I guess, would be a trickier name.
It's Ian.
Ian. Ion.
Yes.
Eagle.
Ion.
Whatever it takes, I guess. There's a couple of things from yesterday's game, obviously, that jump out at us. And the first, now, this is a little inside radio for you boys and girls. So I was at Bruins practice yesterday. Charlie McAvoy was signing. He was going to meet with the media. I wanted to be there. And I was there till about 1:30, did not turn on my radio, did not look at my phone, got home, started on the DVR. So I got to watch the whole thing and never went near my phone. I didn't want to know. Well, I wanted to watch it.
Yeah, no spoilers.
And
no spoilers.
As I'm watching, it's probably like between 2:30 and 2:45, I'm picturing little Richie Keefe. You know, earlier on in the afternoon, but in that first quarter, looking at Antonio Brown's production and going,
oh my God,
this is what I was talking
about. Yes, I thought he was going to have 20 catches by the end of the game.
Thank God you kept the gifts in your pocket.
I did. Well, I have to right now. Well, yeah, I censored myself. Nobody told me not to do my normal gift work, but I said, you know what? It's not appropriate.
Your prediction
we gotta see
was
what happens here.
Two touchdowns and
a buck
over.
10.
Yeah, buck 10.
And we were trending that way.
Yeah, he was on that path.
And it was funny because it was really both things because prior to the game, the reports came out that Antonio Brown will play and the team intends to feed him the ball.
Right.
And I was like, well, do you really want to?
And in the first drive, you thought, okay.
Yeah, and it's great of a player as he is. I was wondering, all right, week one, do you really want to just throw him the ball every single time just to say, hey, welcome to New England? You just scored 33 the week before. The offense looks pretty good. But they actually kind of did both where he wasn't out there the whole game. What did he end up playing? 33% of the snaps? But when he was out there, they're handing him the ball, they're throwing it to him, they're trying to get him in the end zone.
That's smart by Josh McDaniels,
because
you know
good
what
job.
That does? Now, other teams, next week when they play against the Jets, they're going to clearly say, we got to make sure that we know where Antonio Brown is. So now it makes you have to really game plan for him, rather than if they're like, well, they're trying to ease him in there.
But it was a good way of doing it. It was a great way of doing it. And then you see, and Josh Gordon even talked about a post game, when he's on the field, when Brown's on the field, everybody's job is easier.
Right.
Because there's so much attention on Brown. I think Brady's going to find out it's a lot easier.
Right.
Because even though he's not the biggest guy, you know, he's not Julio Jones, you could still throw it to him when he's covered because he adjusts so
well
to the ball.
He was wide open.
And he gets open all the time, too.
He had a great route down in the he should have had two touchdowns. He had a great route on, like, a fade route, and Brady threw him the football.
Yeah, Brady was pissed.
You know, and
Brady
was,
knew it.
Yeah, he was mad at himself. But the other thing that it does, and I think he had maybe one or two yesterday, where they defensively was maybe a pass interference or
hold
it against
him. Yeah, they held him, I think, once.
Because of his ability to run such great routes, and that's the thing that he brings to the table.
So there was a storyline before the game, and I only found this out after the game because then I could go back on Twitter and follow this stuff. There was a conversation down on the field between Drew Rosenhaus and Robert Kraft, mm-hmm. and it was described as Kraft doing most of the talking.
Yeah, one-sided conversation.
And if you read that, the logical conclusion for me is Robert Kraft's not happy, and he's kind of ripping Drew Rosenhaus a new one. Did you not tell us? Did you not share? And I don't know what was being said, by the way. That's me reading the tea
leaves. Or he could have been like, man, Antonio Brown's such a great player. What?
You never know. Yeah. Or he could be like, what's the latest on Gronk? Right. Like, you know, I don't know what the conversation was about. Because the other story that came out, Dale, which I just flat out reject, I think this is just Robert Kraft and the Patriots wanting it both ways and getting the good PR right. because they got a lot of bad PR. Again, you see Antonio Brown accused of rape. That's the headline, and that's him in a Patriots uniform. Right. It's a Patriots logo all the time. And the story yesterday was the Patriots had no idea, and that's been sort of a consistent story, whether you believe it or not. I know here on this show we don't. But if they that not only did they not know, but if Robert Kraft knew, mm-hmm. he would have stepped in and there would have been no sign of Antonio Brown.
I think the Jeff Darlington audio from yesterday that we heard, yeah. that we played, I think to me that sheds light on everything in the best way possible.
No, but I'm talking about just the Kraft part of it.
Yeah, but I mean even it plays into the Kraft part of it.
A little bit.
Because I think the Kraft part of it is maybe They make it sound like they didn't know about the lawsuit.
Right.
Right? So maybe they knew about... like.
And again, there's a confidentiality agreement in place, so I understand they don't know all the details, right. but I bet Rosenhaus mentioned something that right. could be down the road.
I believe, and we've talked about this, right. I don't think they knew about the lawsuit. I'm not sure Rosenhaus and Antonio Brown necessarily knew the lawsuit was coming out on Monday.
They've been going back and forth since
right.
April.
So why all of a sudden would
and
it have happened?
And apparently there were all different deadlines. Right. right. And so like they went past through all these different deadlines. The report yesterday was she was looking for $2 million. I read somewhere else she was looking for $10 million at the beginning of it.
Right.
Kind of went down to two. And ultimately he said, I'm not signing anything. And then here comes the lawsuit the week before he plays his first game and the week before she gets married. That right. all happens at once. But no, but my point on Robert Kraft is you can't have it both ways. You can't say, hey, we wouldn't have signed him if we knew this, but also have him on the team and have him catch touchdowns for you.
Because
that's having it both ways.
If you felt that right. way, you'd have cut him.
You right. would have 100% cut him. They haven't paid him a dime yet. We read all about his contract. He's not getting $5 million until September 23rd. There's also so many outs in the contract, right. which you could say, hey, you could... We didn't know this was coming, so see you later. They could cut him for $0. If they were so upset about this civil lawsuit,
right.
they could be out. So you can't, on the one hand, get the good publicity of saying, hey, listen, we wouldn't have taken this guy. That's not the Patriot way. And then meanwhile, he's out there, you know, catching touchdowns.
Right, but I think the way they were able to cover themselves and with the Robert, what we've heard is that they didn't know about the lawsuit. So yeah. so right. you cover yourself.
I believe that's true.
Right. And maybe they see what I'm saying? Right. So yeah. now people go, okay, yeah, that's true. And then maybe they didn't know about the lawsuit.
But Brown probably didn't think it was coming either.
Right, but it covers them where we didn't know about the lawsuit, but maybe we knew some other stuff.
But okay, but my point would be you would say to Robert, well, you know now. So if you're so offended by it, you cut him. I don't think they are offended by it. I right. think they're fine with it. They want to see how it plays out. They think he's going to be able to stay on the field, and that's right. all they really care about.
Let's bring you what Jeff Darlington said yesterday that kind of touched off some of this speculation around the NFL.
Well, Sam, Antonio Brown did make the trip to Miami, and I'm told he had a very productive week of practice that leads the team to expect him to play. Behind the scenes, though, this week has been about far more than football. As Brown was preparing to sign his contract last week with the Patriots, he also faced the decision about whether to sign another contract. This one, to pay his accuser more than $2 million as a settlement agreement to end a sexual assault claim. What the public didn't know, while Brown was in the news for things like finding a new helmet and frostbitten feet, he was also in settlement discussions starting in April, including two mediations, the first of which happened in May. That situation culminated Sunday night, and according to sources that I've spoken to, Brown was given a 10 p.m. deadline to sign the settlement agreement, or the accuser's attorney would be filing their lawsuit the following day. That's the same day Brown's contract with the Patriots would be formalized. Now, Brown did not sign it. The suit was filed 2 days later, and now what has long been a very private matter is something the league, the Patriots, and the sports world will be following very closely.
I should point out that Jeff Darlington is based in Southern Florida. He's based in Miami. He's pretty well connected down there. I believe almost everything that he's got there, what I don't know whether to believe or not is the amount. I mean, supposedly we had read earlier that she wanted $1.6 million.
Well, that was just straight up asking for a business venture business type
right.
thing.
But now we've negotiated up to two, apparently.
Well, and then other you said there was somewhere about $10 million.
So again, think about it. If they were doing this in April, they've been going back and forth for 5 months.
Right. And when you go into it, you're probably like, okay, the 1.6 was for an investment.
Right.
And then now you're like, okay, I'm going to put a civil lawsuit against him. All right. Your lawyers are probably saying, hey, let's start high.
Yeah, and then we're going to negotiate
then
down.
Then we're obviously going to negotiate down. And now if it's somewhere around the $2 million.
What is she even going to get out of that? We were talking about this yesterday, like with lawyers' fees and everything else. What does she really walk away with?
Do we believe, I shouldn't say that, I believe. I'll tell you what I believe. Mm-hmm. I believe that the Patriots made him unavailable after the game. It wasn't his choice to be unavailable.
You think he's going to not want to talk? That's definitely a Patriots decision.
I believe
decision.
The Patriots told him, you're not talking, you're not saying anything.
I agree with that.
Leading me to believe that they're a little iffy about what he's going to say and what kind of, you know, is he going to make it worse with what he says?
I don't agree with that. I think that they're just probably like, don't speak until after the information comes out about maybe leaks of the meeting that she has with the NFL, Brittany Taylor, right? So don't say.
Because it's going to be no football questions, right? And if it is, they're just kind of plants. Like it's going to be all off the field stuff with him. I mean, last year they allowed Josh Gordon to talk, but I feel like there were a couple of times where he was going to and he didn't. And then when he did talk, it was three questions and out. And I even wondered then, like, what were they so afraid of with him? And now you're hearing him this year. And
but don't you think it's like? Don't you think it's like in this situation, right? Don't say anything until she meets with the NFL, because once she meets with the NFL, then there'll be things that will leak out. Right?
Well, he also needs to meet with the NFL too.
Well, we don't even know. He might have already met with the NFL.
Apparently not.
Yeah, he hasn't met with him yet.
They said they were going to, and now I'm guessing his cousin Hollywood Brown's going to have to meet with him.
Well, if that's
too.
the other
I think that's
was.
Who it is. I think that's what they've said.
So I think a lot of people believe that's the case.
Has to be.
And by the way, if the commissioner's office says to Hollywood, hey, you're going to come talk to us. You've got no choice.
But do you really think?
He's got to show up. Now, what he says.
But that's my point is like, unless Brittany Taylor has evidence on Hollywood Brown, do you really think he's going to go in there and be like, oh, yeah, Antonio, terrible guy. Terrible guy. Everything she says is true.
Right.
I feel like that might not be your best witness. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
But let me bring in the cousin of the guy I'm accusing, and he's going to.
He's not going to corroborate your story.
If she's saying, let's bring him in. She's got to be pretty confident about what it is he knows.
Well, she might
because, as you point out, really, you're going to ask his cousin to come in, and she's no. I got why you need to talk to him.
But she might also have said that because if you're filing a civil suit against somebody, that means you're going to be put on the stand and you're going to be under oath. So they're going to say, well, who else was there? Right. And so don't you have to say, well, if it was me, Antonio, and his, Marquise, who was there, I think you have to put that in your initial civil lawsuit statement, because that's going to be asked later on down the road. And you got to tell the truth about it.
The question, obviously, is going to be the fact that he played yesterday indicates to me that they knew exactly what they were dealing with. Maybe they didn't know all the details. There's a confidentiality agreement.
Yeah, right. That part.
But they knew there was something.
That's why I think it's so semantics, because you could say they knew and they didn't know, and like, yeah, you're probably right on both sides, because there's no way they knew every single detail.
Right.
They probably never heard Brittany Taylor's name. They didn't know what the money was.
Right.
But I wouldn't be surprised if they say to Drew Rosenhaus, all right, is there anything else we need to know about Antonio? The helmet's figured out. The feet are fine. He can't be recording people and posting on Instagram. Anything else? And Drew Rosenhaus says something along the lines of, well, I can't really get into it because there's a confidentiality agreement.
Right.
Where does your mind go? That could only be a handful of things, probably.
Right.
So you're like, all right, great. That's something that's pretty serious.
The thing to stress here is that the Patriots didn't just take Drew Rosenhaus's word for this. They investigated on their own.
Well, they probably sat down with the both of them, right? And they probably sat down and said, okay.
They haven't sat down with Brittany Taylor.
I'm saying Drew Rosenhaus and Antonio Brown. The Patriots probably sat down with them too when Drew said, okay, here's what else I got. Can't get into it, but, here's the situation.
We're dealing with something. Yeah.
They've got people.
Yeah.
They've got people in the building here who do this sort of thing. They do it for a living here, and they report back to Robert Kraft, Bill Belichick.
Right.
Okay, this is what we found. This is what we think is going on. And after that is when they said, okay, we're going to sign him.
Right.
This wasn't Drew Rosenhaus saying, no, don't worry. We got you on this. We're good. Right. They're not going to do it based on
that.
And
the only other way you would be like, kind of blindsided by the whole thing is unless Antonio Brown lied to Drew Rosenhaus, and
certainly possible.
But
that's why they investigated on their own,
right?
Too.
Right. But it would be hard for Antonio Brown to lie to Drew Rosenhaus because they're going back and forth with Brittany Taylor and her representatives.
I don't think Rosenhaus was going back and forth. I think the lawyer was.
Yeah,
going
the lawyer.
Back.
But I mean, that information is probably I'm willing to bet you that Antonio Brown's lawyer has a good relationship with Drew Rosenhaus, and they could say, "Hey, here's what we know. This type of stuff."
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We're down here at Gillette Stadium. It is a Patriots Monday. We've just been told we will, in fact, talk to James White today.
Very good.
We won't talk to Daron Harmon today. Lawrence Guy is going to fill in for Daron Harmon. He'll be with us this morning as well. It's Dale and Keefe. Wiggy's with us as well. Sports Radio, WEEI.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Brady. End zone. Caught by Brown. Touchdown, New England. Antonio Brown, the newest Patriot, plunging into the stands in his hometown.
Very safe to do so because there were no Dolphins fans in the building.
Couldn't find any. Would you be a fan of that team?
No.
My God.
But
I
was a little concerned when he jumped in and there was a kid sitting there. And I was like,
he injures the kid.
Well, he has another lawsuit. It's
that'd be trouble.
Sports attorney Daniel Wallach tweeted out a portion of the league's personal conduct policy. And it's interesting to note.
Which I don't even know what qualifies anymore after Tyreek Hill, Robert Kraft. I have no idea what qualifies.
It says the NFL's personal conduct policy requires players to, quote, promptly report, unquote, any matter that may constitute a violation of the personal conduct policy. This covers any incident which, if the allegations were true, would constitute a violation. Failure to report is grounds for disciplinary action. So when he allegedly began negotiations with this woman back in April because of the allegations that she made, he was required by the league to promptly report that.
Yeah, but
he obviously didn't.
But you'd be breaking one rule to not break the other, right? Because if you can't tell anybody about your negotiation, it's a non-disclosure there with her. But now you can go tell the league, so now you're in breach of that,
right.
And then maybe you owe her money. So you're screwed.
Well, in fact, Daniel Wallach writes, this could potentially cover Antonio Brown, but this provision would be in direct conflict with his obligations of confidentiality.
Yeah, there you go.
As a result of the mediation with his accuser, he says, I also doubt the NFL would discipline on this basis given the circumstances.
Yeah,
right,
I think he's got to...
Isn't that like, because you're saying anything that they could lead, right? To a potential criminal charge or civil suit as far as conduct detrimental, but couldn't that be anything then?
Yeah, and there was also stuff in his contract specific with the Patriots where they could have gotten out of it for so many reasons. Whether he told the league or he didn't tell the league, just the fact that this is going on, I think they could have gotten out because of the $9 million that they signed him for, or at least guaranteed, they could have gotten out of that.
Yeah, I think that's easily. I think you had maybe said this, Rich, is that they have until what, September 20th before they pay him
23rd. I think.
The $5 million bonus that they owe him in the beginning. So they could. There's definitely language, and then they know it's when he's coming off prior to the allegations coming out. All the stuff that was going on in Oakland and the way he got out of Oakland. There definitely had to be language in that contract that said, hey.
100%. They were able to get out of it even before these charges.
Right.
So think about it. If they wanted to, they could get out.
At one point in yesterday's game, the Patriots had a personnel grouping on the field of James White in the backfield with Brady, Josh Gordon and Antonio Brown wide to the left side of the field, Julian Edelman and Philip Dorsett wide to the right side of the field.
Pretty good.
The best Brady's ever had. For five guys,
even without Gronk,
right? Oh yeah, because even the best Gronk ones, like Gronk, Edelman, and who else? And even if you want to say Gordon wasn't as good. No. I don't think last year as he is already this year.
And Gronk wasn't the same.
And Gronk also wasn't the same. So obviously, you go back to 2007. You say Moss, Welker, Stallworth, Gaffney, and then what? I guess Falk or Maroney.
Yeah.
This is better. This is better than that. Because Antonio Brown's coming off an All-Pro or a Pro Bowl season.
Right.
He wasn't All-Pro, but close enough.
And Julian's
coming. Adam's Super Bowl MVP.
Right.
Gordon's looking, maybe not 2013 Gordon, but he looks pretty good.
But he's
Philip
a damn
Dorsett.
Good. Gordon's a damn good number three.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Nobody has a number three like Josh Gordon in the entire NFL. So, yeah, that is scary. I mean, I don't know how you match up.
Right.
If you're on defense, I think you just throw your hands in the air and say, forget
it. And then you say, like you said, James White, you talk about what
one of the better pass-catching backs in the league.
And you as of right now, you could throw Rex Burkhead into the conversation and go, you know, here's a guy that creates a ton of matchup problems for you. I mean, think about the play yesterday where Brady is basically yelling to him, hey, switch. And so,
and then he threw it right to him.
Switch with whoever was in the slot, put a Burkhead. You become the number two of the three guys on that one side.
And
just run a seam route against a linebacker, and boom, I'll drop it.
It does look different because the tight end, and I know they got Lacoste involved a little bit. It looks different because for so many years, the tight end has been important, has been a big pass catcher for him. But now they're just so loaded on wide receiver.
But
that
the tight end's going to have the role that we saw yesterday.
Right, he'll get open because nobody will cover him.
They had Matthew Slater play four plays at tight end.
Right.
And was just blocking.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of goal line stuff.
Right. But they had nobody else at that point.
Right, but I think when you look at the tight end position, what you're going to see is like, you know, what you see, a guy that says, hey, we're going to throw you maybe, you know, two, three, four, maybe even five balls a game. Just get down the seam, catch the ball.
Turn around,
you'll be there, and that's it.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We're down here at Gillette Stadium on a Patriots Monday. James White will join us around 11:15. Lawrence Guy will join us later on in the program. It's Dale and Keefe with Wiggy Sports Radio, WEEI.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.